And if I were to ask you, what is the most popular TV network amongst affluent women, what would you say? Okay, here's a hint.
First-time buyers Ben and Mashonda are looking for a house as unique as they are.
I'm Carter Osterhaus, and this is a million-dollar room.
Sam and Monica are looking for that perfect property.
We're looking for our dream home.
But their ideal dream house is out of reach.
$1.6 million.
It's right where we want to be in the city, but we can't have it.
That's where the Property Brothers come in.
Those are just a sample of some of the shows on HGTV. That's The Answer. It's been on the air for 20 years now and is still one of the most popular channels on cable. But why? Meredith Blake has been reporting on this for the Los Angeles Times. She's with us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, and how well are they doing by the numbers?
HGTV is doing very well. They're a top 10 cable network in prime time. They also do particularly well on the weekends when a lot of people kind of tune in to relax after a long week of work. And they're also a number one network on cable with women, with affluent women, defined as women who make over $100,000 a year.
The number one network among that group.
Yes, that's right.
And for people who don't ever watch HGTV, give us a sense of what they do. What would we find if we tuned in right now?
You'll find variations on a theme, which is basically people buying, selling, renovating property, homes. And it's always kind of, you know, one of the beautiful things about the network is that it's always kind of, it's pretty reliable. Any time of day you're going to tune in, you're going to find some variation on that theme.
That it's not that you're tuning in for a specific show necessarily. You're just tuning in to get this HGTV brand and all the shows kind of flow into that theme.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people certainly do have their favorites. I mean, people are partisans for different shows on the network. But, you know, if you're someone who likes to sort of take a voyeuristic glimpse into other people's homes and how they live their lives, HGTV will always deliver in that department.
And they are famous for their show House Hunters, which has been on the air now for about 15 years, right?
Yeah, since 1999, I believe, is when it first aired.
And that is what?
That is a show that is almost so simple you can't believe someone didn't come up with it earlier, which is basically it's just people looking for houses. And in each episode, you know, sometimes it's a couple, sometimes it's a single person, sometimes it's a whole family. They're looking for a house and they have a list of demands. Usually they're kind of very specific, sometimes maddeningly so. And they tour three houses and decide which one they're going to end up living in or sometimes renting.
This has been called property porn, by the way.
Yes. I think there is a way that it satisfies, like I said before, this voyeuristic urge that people have to catch a glimpse of other people's lives. And especially on House Hunters, you know, since so many of the people featured in the show are couples, you also get kind of a glimpse into their relationship. So there is this kind of intimate quality to it that I think is very appealing to a lot of viewers.
But there are a lot of copycats now. How has HGTV managed to hold on to its audience with something that can be very easily copied on other channels?
One thing that they've done is they've sort of avoided these kind of huge breakout hits. I mean, earlier this kind of in the early aughts, you had a lot of big shows like Trading Spaces was a huge breakout hit for TLC. That's also something that was kind of in the home space. That show, people decorated their neighbors' houses, basically. And that was a huge hit. That got like 12 million viewers or something. Sometimes it beat stuff in broadcast primetime. But it also saw, you know, people got sick of it really quickly. HGTV has a way of really not beating a dead horse. They all of their shows get in primetime, you know, around 1 to 2 million viewers, which is pretty modest compared to some other shows. But the fact is they don't wear out the viewer with one breakout hit, and they keep the formula kind of the same. And it's pleasant, it's reliable, it's voyeuristic without being sort of sensationalistic.
And it's popular among women, as you said, who are making more than $100,000. It's the number one network. But it's also popular among their family members who watch with them.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a very fun show to watch. I mean, I know that I enjoy watching it with my husband. It's especially the House Hunters and House Hunters International kind of franchise. Because like I said before, you kind of get an insight into how other people live their lives. It gives you a chance to sort of maybe judge them a little bit, to wonder why they can't live in a smaller house or settle without the granite countertops or whatever it is. And, you know, it's also a little bit of a, you know, playing into the American dream of real estate thing. I mean, people are endlessly obsessed with that, and it gives us a way to kind of relive that fantasy every night at 10.
And I see that they are the number one revenue generator for their parent company, Scripps. What do you think it tells us about ourselves that Americans in general love this kind of programming about fixing up houses and, you know, working on property and gardening and all that?
I think it's that people just love, you know, HGTV. It's not always a happy ending on these shows, but there is kind of a neat formula to all of them. You know, anyone who's seen two episodes of House Hunters can tell you that by the third act, the couple's going to sit down and hash out which houses they've looked at and the plus and minuses of each. There's a really satisfying formula to them. And especially when that's tied to something, you know, that's so kind of innate in the American identity, like consumerism, like property ownership, people are going to be drawn to that.
Why did they survive after the housing crash? A lot of people were thinking that this channel would not last after the crash of the housing market.
While the network has mostly, you know, in its 20 years been about real estate, it wasn't really guilty as of much of the excess as some of the other networks were. You know, there were all these flipping shows kind of in the middle aughts, 2005, 2006. There was just a glut of these shows about flipping real estate. HGTV had a few of them, but, you know, their shows tend to be a little milder. They're not as over the top, not as brash, I guess you could say. And I think that was one thing that kept them above water. You know, some other networks like A&E and Bravo cut back on their real estate programming after the crash. HGTV kept going, and they made some minor adjustments in their schedule. They added some shows that were kind of more sensitive to where people were. They had a show called Income Property, you know, about how to find a house or, you know, a piece of property that you could also make money off of. So they tweaked their lineup a little bit, but I think because they were always a little more restrained in some ways, they managed to stay afloat and to thrive, really.
Meredith Blake, reporter with the LA Times, talking with us about HGTV, which, by the way, is about to expand to Asia this winter.
Yeah, that's right, which is interesting. You know, you can see kind of this expansion of consumerism and interest in acquiring property overseas. We're exporting it like crazy.
Meredith, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.